As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning. What great words Joshua has for us today. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. This verse serves as a sort of motto for people of faith. We needle-point it and cross-stitch it and posterify it. Stick it on the side of coffee mugs. Heck, later today, go home and on Amazon, type into your search for "as for me and my," and autofill will do the rest of the work. As for me and my household, we will follow the Lord. Wall decor is an actual search that will populate for you. Scan the results, and you will see that we love this verse so much, we can actually buy a personalized cross for our door with our last name above it. Seriously, get one. Then all your friends will know that you and your household have followed the Lord. It's only $49.99. It can be here in 5 days. All kidding aside, it's really no wonder that we love these words so much. They perfectly capture our very best intention. They memorialize our earnest desire to honor the covenant that exists between us and God. And so this morning, as we celebrate ministry, you know that's serving the Lord, right? As we celebrate ministry here at Transfiguration, and before we rush home to buy our own Tankersley, "as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord" crosses, well, let's just pause and let's peruse the passage from Joshua. Let's make sure we're ready to practice what we preach. Now, these well-worn words aren't actually a verse of Scripture in and of themselves, but the second half of a verse from the very last chapter of Joshua. Here the Israelites, under Joshua's leadership, have finished-ish their conquest of the Promised Land. I insert that "ish," well, because they haven't followed all God's instructions, at least those instructions as they were received and recorded by the author of the book of Joshua. They haven't killed every Canaanite man, woman, child, oxen, sheep, and donkey. Now, I need to pause here to acknowledge that that instruction and the ensuing conquest of Canaan are deeply troubling. Now, my average sermon is 16 to 17 minutes. That's not long enough to solve the problems of the book of Joshua. And I'm aware that my sermons really should be 11 or 12 minutes. Laugh of relief. So let's leave the troubles from the book behind for another day. But let me encourage you that if you are troubled by the book and you want to talk, I am here. I'm well aware that atheists are made reading the book of Joshua. Today, let's stick to this final chapter. After leading the Israelites into the Promised Land, Joshua gathers them, as Moses did before they entered, and, well, he lays out some truth. He sings some Bob Dylan. "You may be a Levite with your spiritual pride. You may be like Eli's son taking bribes on the side. You may be a Delilah cutting some guy's hair. You may be Bathsheba, maybe somebody's heir, but you're going to have to serve somebody. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody." It's a simple, straightforward truth. Joshua doesn't make it up. Moses tells them the same thing before they enter the Promised Land. "You'd better remember your purpose, your mission, your commitment. You better remember your identity, because truth be told, you've committed to serve a certain somebody." The truth may sound simple, Joshua tells them, and ain't necessarily so. You're going to have to serve somebody, and there are plenty of other choices out there, plenty of other gods you might worship by choice or default. You could serve the gods of your ancestors across the river or in Egypt. You could serve the gods of the Amorites, the gods of the culture in whose land you're living. But, he says, if you, like me and my household, choose to serve the Lord, you're going to have to put away all that. You'll have to live counterculturally, like resident aliens everywhere you go. You can be in this place, he tells them, but you can't be of it. That led me to wonder this week, I wonder what gods our ancestors served. As the great-granddaughter of Depression-era farmers, I'm pretty sure my ancestors served gods of agriculture, of security, of wealth preservation. As a daughter of the feminist revolution, some of my ancestors served gods of independence and self-sufficiency. As a daughter and granddaughter of engineers, my ancestors served gods of reason and knowledge. I wonder what ancestral gods are part of your history. You're going to have to serve somebody. Choose this day, says Joshua. And then that made me wonder, what gods dwell here in the culture in whose land we are living? In my experience, I've come face to face with the gods of I don't have time for that and not my problem. I confess I'm far too familiar with the god of what can I do when I face rampant injustice, oppression, poverty, racism, and indifference. I wonder what cultural gods you've encountered in this culture in whose land we are living. It may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Choose this day, says Joshua. Now, to this gathered community, Joshua declares his choice. Like the disciples in our gospel today who look at Jesus and say, "Where would we go?" Joshua says he has chosen covenantal life with the God who has given both the commandments and Sinai and its laws. Like them, we too must choose who we will serve, whose we will be, what passions and loyalties will govern our daily lives. To be clear, many of us have chosen. In our baptisms, in our confirmations, whenever we gather and renew those covenants, well, we've chosen to serve the Lord. And as Bishop Doyle of the Diocese of Texas puts it, the God to whom we are yoked in love is a God who freed us to be a blessing to all of creation, to be a different kind of people, a people who serve God by being and enacting a different kind of society. Yet if we're really honest, even those of us who have chosen to serve the Lord need to hear Joshua's call today, because we fall short of being a blessing to the whole of creation, don't we? And too often, we're not truly a different kind of people. The gods of our ancestors and the gods of the land in which we are living are alive and well, and we are still tempted to serve them. This weekend, we are celebrating the choice we've made to live in covenant with and the steps we've taken and continue to take towards serving the Lord. In Roper Hall this morning, each of our ministry groups has a display and some information and some gifts to entice you, and all of that is spilling out into our welcoming space. Join us after the service. Peruse and listen. What ancestral and cultural gods may have distracted you from serving the Lord as fully as you've covenanted to do? What might you need to put away in order to step deeper into service at this place? Serving God might mean teaching children Sunday school. Oh, I know, many of us had been there and done that, and maybe we need to be there and do that again. Serving God may mean assisting with youth group. It may mean joining the Peace Post group and writing letters. If you're new around here, serving the Lord might look like committing to join the way, our process toward baptism, confirmation, and membership here at Transfiguration. Doing these things, this will require us to put down other things, to set aside other gods in our lives. Walter Brueggemann is one of my very favorite theologians, and he's observed that serving the Lord requires a commitment that will impinge upon every dimension of our lives. Did you get that? Serving the Lord requires a commitment that will impinge on every dimension of our lives. It is an all or nothing proposition, which requires us regularly to examine our commitments, our calendars, our checkbooks, our relationships, all of it. It may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Choose this day. Today, in our ministry fair, you'll find a variety of ways that you might choose to serve the Lord. Today, sisters and brothers, I'm going to do something a little different. I'm going to charge you with something, as Joshua charged the Israelites. And when we do this in church, we stand up. So will you stand with me for a moment? I charge you this day as follows. Now, therefore, revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And all God's people said,